You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Stugatz. It's the best I've ever seen John Isner play. It's the best I've ever seen him play.
Who, All Day Isner?
All Day Isner.
Yeah, I said Andy Murray should have packed two lunches, a suitcase, and perhaps an overnight, you know, just a sleeping bag, something, because John Isner will stay out there the entire week. But Isner decided, you're right, Mike, I don't want to stay out here all week. I want to get this match over with, and that's as good as John Isner has played, because Isner is all about the serve. But yesterday, ground strokes.
Yeah, he's been injured the last few years. It looked like he was about to be on a launch pad and really take off and be that next great American male tennis player that could really contend for some of these Grand Slam titles. And then, I don't know if you know this, but people refer to him as Big John, and tennis players are generally big, and you don't really have a lot of frame of reference within the shot, but he's a giant. He is a giant individual.
Yes.
That it's one of the strangest bodies I've ever been in the presence of. And just the act of playing tennis for someone that large and lanky has to take such a toll on the body. So he's finally taken like 2 years to get healthy. Andy Murray, I know that's a name from years past. He's a former Wimbledon champion. But Andy Murray was kind of rounding in the form, and he was like a sneaky dark horse to make it to the semifinals, especially this year with such a wide open tournament.
I was trying to tell you, I thought Andy Murray was good value to make it to the semifinals of this tournament. I'm not certain if you took it or not. You're gambling again.
I'm gambling again. No, I took Murray against Isner, and then Isner rattled off one of the best performances ever. It's been a really fun tournament. It Djokovic is going to win it, provided he doesn't test positive for COVID, and that's, I don't say that flippantly.
There, no guarantee.
COVID. Right. Yeah, he's not vaccinated, and COVID has already impacted this tournament quite a bit. But on the men's and women's side, it's as wide open a major as we've seen in some time. But
if Djokovic gets, Mike, the only way, yeah. I'm with you. Like, if Joker is healthy and doesn't test positive, it's his tournament to lose.
Yeah, he was minus juice to win the tournament.
Right.
For a reason.
Yes.
And if he maintains his health and fitness, he should be able to run through it. But it's been a really fun watch. And Isner putting together a complete game. Normally, he's just power, but him being able to put a complete game together gives American tennis fans that maybe are casual and just want an American rooting interest some hope. Hey, Amin, how's it going?
Hi, guys.
Hey, we're approaching NBA free agency.
Are we done with tennis? Because I was getting excited for Cressy and Sock today.
Oh,
couple of Americans cutting it up.
Cressy is.
He just shifted very quickly to basketball. I understand why. It's a big day in the NBA, but I mean, this is tennis. For tennis, this is the biggest week of the year. And so I'm fine talking a little grass court with you. I mean, are you kidding me?
Did you watch the Opelka match yesterday?
Well, you keep telling me about this kid who came out of nowhere who beat Opelka. By the way, not a big deal. I returned one of his serves. I did it with a cigarette in my mouth.
Nice.
So, I mean, listen, not a big deal beating Opelka. I won a few points against him. We played some points. But this Dutch kid you keep talking about who's come out of nowhere. Yeah. I mean, crazy, crazy odds. I bet him yesterday.
I'm gonna butcher his last name because I've only watched him on mute, and he's literally come out of nowhere. That was his first major game that he had prior to Riley Opelka. He beat Medvedev in a warm-up tournament. He's kind of old for a name to just fall out of the sky, this Dutch guy. I'm going to butcher this last name, Tim van Rijsjeven. And he is all of a sudden like this impact player that is beating the likes of Medvedev, who was arguably the second best player in the world when he beat him.
Yes.
And he took out Riley Opelka in what was a really great match. And this tournament provided that we all assume that Djokovic is going to win it. But the semis are going to be something because it's going to be a star-making vehicle for a lot of new names because a lot of major names had to bow out of this tournament. A lot of major names, as we on the men and women's side, as we saw with Serena, have been upset early.
Is Berrettini out? COVID,
yeah,
right?
Berrettini, yeah. I thought, had his... If it wasn't going to be Djokovic, it might have been Berrettini, but he had to be... removed from the tournament due to COVID. So
Amin's looking at us weird. He's like, how do you guys know so much about tennis?
I'm gambling again. It's the grass courts of Wimbledon. I was trying to get away from it because I know that the audience certainly doesn't want the first words coming from me and certainly not from me on tennis.
But I do have a question as it relates to tennis because the game's biggest star, Serena Williams, if you want to call her that still, did it make you sad? She lost in the...
I mean, I think she's fairly easily, in terms of active star, she's the game's biggest star.
Why'd you cut her out immediately? You're like,
just because one loss.
She hasn't won a major in a few years. She hasn't, I mean, she's not the Serena that we're accustomed to seeing. I'm not certain she's the biggest star.
She's the biggest star, because stardom in this case is the name.
Yeah, stardom.
Yeah.
I mean, Nadal, Djokovic.
I think, no, Serena's the biggest
star. On the women's side, yes.
No, but I think on overall tennis, she's the biggest star in tennis, male or men or woman.
Okay, still right now today.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, still, because she's still actively playing. And
she's box office. Yeah. Like when she's playing, like when she played, what was it, on Tuesday and lost, it was box office. Like, all right, got to get to a television and see Serena.
Right.
I would say when she ceases playing, she will then cease being the biggest name on tour. But I think even casual sports fans, if you ask them to name a tennis player, will still say, active? Is Serena still playing?
Yeah.
Before they even say the likes of Djokovic.
I can't even pronounce Djokovic, mm-hmm. man. You want them
the
to
Joker.
Say
that. Yeah, that's how you pronounce it.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
Work around.
That's why I do it.
What I'm realizing about women's tennis primarily is Serena is almost bigger than the sport in that big star making. She's such a big star making vehicle. Whoever plays her, whoever beats her, all of a sudden is a name that is on your radar. And the sport, granted, there was a pandemic and all that, I think it suffered with her taking some time to heal and not being as dominant. I really think that the sport's in a better place when she is really clicking on all cylinders.
I don't know if we'll see that again. My larger point was she lost to Tan in the first round. A match that normally Serena would close out. She got into a third set tiebreaker. She was up 4-0 or maybe 5-1 in that tiebreaker. And, Mike, that's lights out. When Serena has you in that spot, especially when you're up a set, she puts away that match. And I'm just wondering, like, when someone is so great and you see them starting to slip off and tail off a little bit, does it make you sad? Because it made me kind of sad to see Serena lose first round in a match that she would normally win and close that thing out. And so
she'll be back, though. She'll,
I don't know if she will, to be
honest.
She'll
have the redemption story. Tiger came back, and it made it all that much sweeter, because even when Tiger was going through his struggles through fitness and just playing the game, we all said, man, if he somehow comes back and wins this, what a way to complete the story. Granted, he had some off-the-field stuff that added to that story, but you have the most dominant athlete of a generation, arguably in any sport. And she's struggling right now, and she's kind of far from what many would perceive to be her peak. But, I mean, she can absolutely, on her worst day, still beat a lot of great tennis players.
No, I know she can. golf a little bit different than tennis. Just overall, like when you see someone who's played at such a high level in any sport for such a long time, and then it starts to tail off just a little bit, for me... it makes me sad. Like, we'll never see someone like Serena again, ever, in the history of the game. Mike, you and I will watch tennis until we're old. We'll gamble on it.
Yeah,
okay?
But to Mike's point, it makes it even sweeter if she does do it.
Yeah, like, but I'm not certain she will.
Okay, but...
You're counting her out.
It's hard to predict.
Yeah. I mean, you're losing to Tan in the first round. Mike, this is not losing in the semifinals. This is not even making it to the semi. This is not even making it out of the first round of big tournaments.
Is that what happens when you lose in the first round?
Yes. And so I don't know how Mike is coming up with, hey, she'll go from this, where she is right now, because to winning majors again. But I said the same thing about Tiger.
She's the greatest of all time.
Right.
I'm not going to write Serena Williams off just because she lost in the first round.
Now, even before the relative fall off for her, She was competing at a level that at that age we never see in that sport, right? So I'm all right with a little skepticism if she'll ever do it again, because she was already, it's like LeBron falling off now. It's like, well, we already have never seen anyone play this well at the age of 37, right? Or 36, rounding in at 37 for LeBron. If LeBron falls off, it's like, well, I'm never going to write him off. Like, yeah, this at some point it has to end. They don't
you have
play
to
forever.
Write him off.
Yeah,
right.
Except yeah. Tom Brady. That's the only exception.
That's exactly right. Well said, bud.
Are LeBron and Serena in like the same exact places in their careers right now?
Well, I think Serena has done considerably more winning.
No, I'm just saying in terms of like where they are age-wise.
Right?
Right.
What's left?
Like, because LeBron could still get there. Serena can maybe still get there, but they're clearly not what they were at their peak. I think that it's very similar.
At this point, they've defied expectations to such a degree that it's almost unreasonable to ask more of them.
Right.
Serena Williams made the Australian Open semifinal last year, and she's 40 years old this year.
Correct.
Like, it's already absurd the longevity of her career, considering how long she has been in our lives as an amazing tennis player. Like, everything from here on out is gravy. I'm not made sad by it. I'm kind of like, in some ways, admiring the
appreciation
fact that,
mode.
Right, after having a child and after like having to recover and all from all that, like that, I imagine was really difficult to reach that high of a standard again.
Didn't she win the Australian Open while pregnant?
I'm not sure.
I recall odd timeline. I have to look it up.
That should count as two majors.
Right? Like, I'm like, come on, man.
Like, if LeBron came back from 3-1 while a human was growing inside of him, I think I'd look at him even in more glowing terms. I think Serena is also going to benefit from, because of her absence, because she was constantly challenging other people, and it was a weird time in tennis because of how staggered the schedule was and the pandemic. No one really took the baton. We're seeing Coco Gauff is back on radars. Right. Coco wasn't dominating.
Right.
Everyone thought everyone had crowned her next in line. It's good to see this run. She plays a little bit later today.
She might be next in line,
Mike. She might be.
She's young.
She might be, but you look at the women's tennis rankings and who's still available in the tournament. Sakkari was a name that you thought was bubbling up and then kind of slid back a little bit. Looks fun in this tournament a little bit, but there really isn't anybody for Serena to rip the sport away from if she taps back into her prior form.
Chris, to your point, would you be surprised if LeBron wins another championship?
Because
I think Michael sold
me on... But I wouldn't be surprised if Serena did either. I think they're in the same boat.
I'd be more surprised if LeBron wins another NBA championship. Mike has sold me on... Jimmy Connors made a semifinal run US Open. I think he was 40 years old. Like, it happens in tennis. And
the
so,
Lakers weren't bad this year because of LeBron.
Yeah, but LeBron has to rely on other variables. Serena just has to rely on herself. And if she's relying on Serena Williams, there's a good chance she'll win another major.
I'm just trying to find the logic. And you put a flyer on Andy Murray, who you haven't seen do winning in quite some time, and he's a former Wimbledon champion.
It's nostalgic, though.
Yeah,
I mean.
But so you obviously had some kind of feeling.
I was yearning for a different time.
He could still tap back into it.
It's just because he's British.
It is, you're
right. It's the only reason. Yes. It's a British guy in the British tournament.
And I want to see him win in London, yes.
Why do we call bonus stuff gravy? Like, that would be gravy.
Oh, because it's on top. Like, the steak is the thing that you're getting. And then the gravy is just like, it'd be nice if you pour it on top, but like...
You put gravy on your steak?
Some people do.
Some people. Like icing on the cake.
Breakfast steak.
That's what I mean. I like that saying better. Give me icing. It's like icing
steak on
the cake.
I mean, I view it through the Thanksgiving prism. You already have turkey, stuffing, everything else on a delicious plate of food, and then you're adding something to make it just slightly more delicious.
Like, if you didn't have the gravy, would you be like, take this dish away?
No,
you eat it,
cranberry
right?
Sauce.
No, right. I mean, it wouldn't be as good the dish without the gravy. It'd be dry.
That's why it's like LeBron's career. If he doesn't win another championship, would you say, take this career away from me? I don't want this. You say, no, I'd take it.
Right.
But if I get another championship, oh,
we just
nice.
Need a better food item. Like, gravy, it's fine.
They do the cherry on top, but I don't think the cherry on top.
I'd rather have icing or a cherry on top than gravy.
Cherry
really?
On top.
Yeah.
Oh, I like gravy more than cherries.
People don't do the cherry.
I don't even love cherries, but just like gravy is just like,
Chris,
looks like poop. Looks like poop soup.
Poop soup is what happens to me after a night of drinking. No, cherry on top.
Come on. You think you'd ease up.
He's not wrong.
You know, cherry on top.
It's every morning, though.
It's a Sunday every goddamn morning. It's a Sunday, right? It's or a banana split or whatever. I submit to you, nobody does that anymore. It's gone. It used to be such
somebody hasn't been to Dairy Queen.
A fixture of Americana. You go on a date and you go and you get the ice cream sundae and you split it with each other with two spoons. And now it's gone. These kids aren't having ice cream sundaes or banana splits anymore.
You do the thing where you wrap your elbows around each other and like I feed myself. Me and Jess did that in Tahoe.
The champagne toast. Or yeah. Like, to us, which I don't understand.
What did you do?
I just dropped that. Me and Jess, we were just like celebrating Tahoe and we were like taking a cafecito shot. We decided to cross arms.
Austin.
And
not awesome. Tahoe.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. It was awesome.
That's a fine.
Oh, yeah. Tahoe's in the future.
It's also adorable. Yeah,
it was cute.
I feel like gravy and cherry on top are two very different things. Like if LeBron wins another MVP regular season, is that gravy? Is that a cherry on top?
No, it's gravy.
So anything
icing on the cake.
So anything Serena does from here on out, is that considered to be gravy?
No, like for Serena,
because she's
like,
she's chasing history here.
The difference between Serena
and
LeBron,
it means a lot to her, that history.
Well, LeBron's chasing history too, but
he's chasing Jordan.
Well, that's history.
Right. What additional history is Serena chasing? Like she has all the history, right?
That's why to me it's not even gravy for her. It's like,
wait, doesn't she need one more major to surpass? She's tied for the most majors ever. She doesn't have the most majors ever
in the WTA.
I believe so. I believe that's the case.
There's someone that won more than Serena?
There's someone who won the same amount as Serena,
Steffi Graf had 22. Serena's got 23, so that's already.
How about Margaret Court? I thought she was tied.
Serena has the most Grand Slam tournament titles in history.
You were close to Gatz.
Court, underachiever. I mean.
Is it the all-time tennis?
Let me see. Okay,
maybe it's
There it was.
Mm-hmm.
Nadal tops all-time men with 22. Serena has 23.
That's what Stu is doing. Yeah.
No, Serena has 23.
Go ahead and check your all-time rankings on the men. You're going to lose your shit.
We'll get there. We'll figure out what Stu is doing.
I don't know what I was doing.
She hasn't won one of majors in a calendar year. Right?
It's all the same guys that are still playing right now.
Yes, it is.
It is crazy because I remember growing up, Sampras, no one will ever win as much as Sampras did. And these guys, three guys have blown him out the water at this point.
In the same era.
Right.
Yes.
You know what that means? They're all winning the tournaments. Yeah. If I'm not winning it, the other guy is, and he's forming this logjam, which is what you see on the men's side right now. And it's still the same guys. Nadal, depending on the surface, can still be, when healthy, when right on his best day. I don't think there's anybody better that I've ever seen on the men's side.
He just won the French. I mean,
yeah. Right. Then Rafael Nadal. With him, it's always the knees. It's always just, will his body hold up?
The hair also.
Yeah, and the wedgie.
The hair is, that headband is not a style point.
Oh,
right
it's there. Not a choice. He's not making a choice.
Oh, my God. Him without the headband, you ever seen it?
No. Well, after tournaments, after he wins, yes.
It takes
it's a totally different person.
It takes all the swagger and intimidation out. Like, it's some old man. It's like Agassi. Remember Agassi when he had
he had fake hair, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He had a wig. He played with a wig. That honestly makes me look back on his time, too, in terms. Yeah.
He's doing it with a wig on? Jeez.
Wait, so LeBron wins a title. That's cherry on top?
LeBron wins a title, that's gravy.
Because he ain't winning two.
Right. Serena, at this point, her meal is set. So at this point, it's just like, oh, would you like an aperitif with it? Like something that you wouldn't even consider. Like, you know what? Why not? Like one of those little garnishes.
She has the whole dish and the gravy already.
Everything. It's all done.
So how do you add to gravy? Like
garnish.
A little piece of parsley?
Parsley, exactly.
Just one little piece of parsley on top of the dish? Oh, that's maybe, a cherry on
maybe,
top.
Maybe a napkin. an extra napkin. Like you've got the one napkin for your lap. Here's another one to dab your face with.
There seems to be some controversy with regards to Margaret Court. What have we learned?
Yeah, so Margaret Court has won 24 titles, but 11 of them were in the Open
era. She's back.
We're in the Open era.
Open era, though.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I think that's what Serena's chasing, is the 24.
All right.
That's the big number she's chasing. It's why she's still playing.
No. No, we're not. This is like saying that LeBron is chasing Bob Cousy. I'm sorry. If it's not the Open era,
Russell,
we don't want to hear about it. Well, Cousy won a lot of titles, too.
Right.
So I don't want to hear about it. Someone did a side-by-side of Michael Jordan with John Havlicek, right? Havlicek also has six rings and was 6-0 and had a lot of the same kind of statistical benchmarks. You know what the difference is? Havlicek never played in a league with ABA talent in it. Get out of here. Get out of here with your pre-merger statistics and accomplishments.
Well, could someone define what Margaret Court, like what happened? There was majors. There was.
She played in the non-open era. She played in the closed era, Stu. God, how hard is this?
Well, what is the closed era? It's not still the open. Four majors? What were they?
It's not the open
but
era.
Maybe it was more difficult when she played.
No, it wasn't.
No,
what if
not,
there were only three majors?
It's never more difficult than it is right now.
Well, how do you know?
Because Serena is playing now.
Yeah, it's so difficult.
Right.
Margaret Court will get her ass beat.
But Serena had four attempts at winning a major every year. Margaret Court, it seems like she won 24 playing two or three majors a year.
In a close era.
It is a great name for a tennis player. We can all agree on that.
The best name ever. Yeah.
Court. The establishment wanted her to be successful.
What is the
or
greatest?
A lawyer. She should have been a lawyer or a tennis player. Yeah.
What is the greatest tennis name? Yeah.
Racket?
A judge.
Steve Racket?
Judge Serve. Court. Right.
Hang on a second. Margaret Court's wiki page is one of the most interesting I've ever seen. I'm scrolling down and I see a little thing on the side that says part of a series on Pentecostalism. I just didn't expect that. Whoa. I don't think you guys would get the subheaders if I gave them to you.
Well, give it to us.
I don't think Sugatsu knows what Pentecostal is.
I don't. I didn't get that one.
Stugatz, do you want me to mansplain what Pentecostalism is?
Please.
It's a Christian religion that celebrates the 50th day after Easter, where the Holy Spirit descends on the disciples and speaks tongues or whatever. So anyways, her subheaders are tennis career, playing style, career timeline, honors, ministry, controversy, portrayal in film, and then a couple more tennis things. So apparently there's some controversy
and
here that I didn't see coming.
Mm.
She only won Wimbledon three times. Come on, get out of here. There's no way.
She won 24 majors.
But Wimbledon only three times.
So?
It's closed.
I know, but Djokovic is considered one of the greats of all time. He's won the French, I think, once or twice. Federer won it once. Once. One time. One French Open for Roger Federer.
Nadal keeps winning every single time. What are you supposed to do?
I got self-aware and thought we were talking about tennis too much 3 minutes into this segment. I was trying to.
I kept it here. I'm sorry.
Change gears.
My favorite thing is 50% of the audience is like, oh, tennis is boring. Why are you talking about it? And the other 50% are like, oh, if you guys are going to talk about tennis, have someone who knows what they're talking about.
Right. Well, me and Mike do.
No, not really.
You didn't even know about the closed era until right now.
I still don't know what it is.
I taught you about the closed era.
It's weird. Chris, do you know what it is? Witty, you don't know what it is?
I just saw it OE and AE. I don't know what I've tried looking for AE. I don't even know what that is.
I'm telling you, regardless, it's important to Serena to catch and surpass Margaret Court. Okay. Like she has said it. She's on record as saying it. I believe it's why she's still playing. I'm not certain she's going to be able to do it.
I mean,
she's losing in the first round.
So, guys, you and I only know tennis by comparison.
Right.
We do not know tennis at all. We're,
at all.
We're not watching a lot of these smaller warm up tournaments. We're refamiliarizing ourselves with them every Grand Slam.
I know you were trying to shift to basketball, and we will. I kept it at tennis probably 15 minutes too long, but it's why I wove in LeBron James.
Okay. Oh, here we go. I have a definition for the open era.
Okay.
Good. Open era began in 1968 when Grand Slam tournaments agreed to allow professional players to compete with amateurs. So basically, before then, only amateurs were allowed to compete in Grand Slam tournaments. That means you guys are holding up this woman, Margaret Court, for beating up on children. Meanwhile, Serena was taking down grown-ass women.
But we're not. Serena is.
No, she's not.
Mike and I aren't saying this. No, Serena is the one who says, hey.
Margaret Court? She said Margaret Court?
I got to tie and surpass Margaret Court. It's important to me.
She said that.
Now, I agree with your overall point, but Serena is on record of saying that.
I need to talk to Serena then. Get me Serena Williams. Mike!
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous, and if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought three for my wife, daughter, and myself for game one. I live it, because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes that out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing the technology we have these days. but Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed. Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
Hey, Dave.
Stugatz.
What up?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Can we talk to Amin about the NBA now?
Please.
As free agency is around, Heat Twitter is confused and upset, even though free agency hasn't really started.
How could they be upset?
Bradley Beal has opted out. Everything in Bradley Beal's history would suggest he's just going to re-sign for as much money as he possibly can and then do the thing where he demands a trade after he has that contract under his belt. The Bradley Beal stuff has quieted down. The Donovan Mitchell stuff has quieted down. The Kyrie Irving thing, while it seemed initially like the door was closed on that, no, not really. He didn't make a bold, different choice. He just opted into the best available option for him, and the Nets are still trying to decide what they want to do. Miles Bridges, who is going to secure a massive bag, has...
Is he?
Not anymore. Not anymore.
The biggest bag fumble in the history of sports. So, Stugatz is looking at me, you don't know what happened. Miles Bridges, restricted free agent. Charlotte just had a press conference the other day, I think, in introducing Steve Clifford, and in it they said, Mitch Kupchak says, we absolutely 100% want Miles Bridges back. We're going to welcome him into the fold. There are many people who believe he's played himself into max contract territory. There were rumors.
Do you believe that?
Hold on. There are rumors about, listen to all this, there are rumors about Portland being interested, about Detroit being interested. Numerous teams being interested in Miles Bridges, maybe to max levels, right? All you got to do is sit back and let this thing play out. Miles Bridges arrested last night. Oof. Domestic violence charges.
Oh.
Like, number one, felony domestic violence.
Yeah. Felony is a big one. He turned himself in. Unfortunately, there aren't a lot of details of the allegations right now, so we can't put that out there because I always think it's as important rather than just focusing on the transactional portion.
Sure. Absolutely. Domestic violence is wrong. Do not put your hands on women. That's awful. Don't do that at all, no matter what the situation is, whether you're minimum wage or on the verge of making a shit ton of money, right? People do things because they are in environments that... Like not suggest.
Are you saying that you could have seen this coming? I don't know anything about Miles Bridges or who he hangs. I haven't talked to anybody. I don't know anything.
I'm saying that people do things typically in charged situations, right? Those things happen because you weren't calm in a calm place. You were agitated. Why are you putting yourself in a place where your agitation is uncontrollable?
Here's some news on the allegations.
Because, hold on a second, because maybe it's uncontrollable, which is an issue.
But,
right?
I mean, that's why, even associating it with his contract, like, there's no good time to be in that situation.
No.
Like, there is no time in which, you want to be in fraught situations.
Right.
Like, just don't be that person, ever.
Don't be that person. But also, especially not now. I'm not saying there's ever a time.
But
it's
but
just,
why? But why? But I don't think these issues present themselves at times.
Let me put it in black and white.
You either have this issue, or you don't.
It's probably one of those times where you say it goes without saying, just so you don't say it because we've been fumbling through it.
No, yeah. Like let me be once again 100% blunt as Jess's face palming. Right,
take three.
There's never a time to do domestic violence, right? That is wrong.
Let's establish that right now.
Right?
Okay, let's all agree on that. Okay?
Okay.
And it means not trying to say anything.
I'm not trying to say anything,
right.
But I'm saying if I'm in a situation where I'm going to get in trouble, would I rather be in trouble with $300 million or not? I'm in trouble.
No,
Jess, you're not listening to me. It's not the either or. It's not the either or of either be in trouble with $300 million or don't be in trouble and don't have the money.
If you're going to get in any sort of trouble, do it after you sign the $300
million. If I'm in trouble,
right. But he can't control it.
Jess,
how about just don't be violent towards women, period?
Absolutely.
It does not matter
absolutely.
What his status is as a player. That is literally the last thing that I give a shit about.
Okay.
You did this to yourself.
Huh? I'm not doing because there's a nuance here that's being lost, right? I'm not. You guys are making it into an either or. Either I don't do this stuff, but I'm also broke,
right.
Or I do this stuff and I get money. I'm not saying that.
I am trying to help you out here. I am not doing that to you.
I'm saying
except when I say take three.
If the start point is this morning arrested for domestic violence, right? If that's the start point.
Yeah.
The start point isn't before he did anything.
Yeah, and the allegations, let me just hit pause so we can actually get these allegations there. I found some stuff on this. It was an argument that happened on Tuesday that the alleged victim claims turned physical. Police were called to the scene, but Bridges was gone by the time the cops arrived. The woman required medical attention, and then Bridges then turned himself in yesterday. And while I understand everything that you're trying to say, and I'll let you get to your point too, the big thing with Miles Bridges was... When you look at this story, it's the accusation, and also he was primed for a big contract. There are ramifications for the Charlotte Hornets and the player himself because this was a career-defining incident, it would appear.
Right. I mean, this is something that sticks with you, right? The idea is, though, I'm not talking about the start point being should you or should you not. Obviously. And if it's not obvious, I'm seeing it right now. Look at the camera. Obviously, you never put your hands on women. Obviously. But we wake up today and it's happened. You can't tell me for him that this is equally as bad for him, not for the woman, not for us, not for society, not for the internet, not for Twitter, not for TikTok, for him. Telling me that waking up today, having him have done this today, is equally as bad as if it happened a month from now. You can't tell me that.
But I think people would come back and say he controls that.
Absolutely.
I'm putting the blame on him.
I don't care.
Like, I don't care about him.
But okay, you
in
don't,
that way. Like, we care so much about these athletes, but we never care about the person that's actually been harmed in these situations.
Yes, we don't
that's
care.
That's the problem.
Newsflash, we don't care about the athletes. I'm not going to go home and go, oh my God, Miles Bridges, how could you do this? I don't give a shit. He's a piece of shit if he did this, right? If he did this, he's a piece of shit. I don't care about him. I do care that someone was treated like this, allegedly. I do care about that. But again, I'm talking about it from his perspective because he's the one that does a job that we cover. What does the young lady do?
I just don't care about your perspective. Okay. Like, I don't think your perspective is important. I think your perspective is a perspective we've heard in sports media for decades, and it's just it doesn't matter.
I don't think so. I think you're conflating my perspective with the perspective of people who are just moving past. They don't even acknowledge. I'm acknowledging it, but at the end of the day, and just respectfully. I don't give a shit if you like my opinion or not, or you think it's a smart opinion or not. Like, it's not something like, well, I hope this is valued by everybody listening. I'm not. I'm explaining a situation from the perspective of sports, contracts, and I worked in this industry, like in the NBA.
Well, let me say there, because it it is part of the story here. How did the Charlotte Hornets actually, this comes across their news, that their head of security probably finds out about it well before mm-hmm. it's being reported. They were primed to give him a massive contract mm-hmm. internally, leaning on your experience. How does this go over within that organization? Admittedly, one of the stranger organizations in the NBA and have made some puzzling decisions at times.
Well, I mean, he's a restricted free agent. So that gives them right of first refusal. Before, there's an impetus to kind of be aggressive, to show we really like you. We want to keep you. What's that number? Is it max? Is it less than max? Oh, no. Today.
He was headed where before this incident, though? He was headed to a max?
Almost likely a max.
They were going to match whatever came across. Are they reaching out to the league? They're reaching out to authorities? They're trying to get an idea of...
All that. So they're...
Or just questioning the player now in a way they hadn't before.
Well, first of all, your director of team security, you're absolutely right. Like our guy, the fixer down here in Miami, Charlotte's version of that is in communication with law enforcement. The kid, if he's got any sort of sense about him, that's the first person he called. First person you call is called director of team security and then like your agent or whatever. Now we're gathering information, right? You're in communication with the league, so they know that this happened, right? And we're also having a discussion internally about, do we want to be associated with this dude at all? Right? There's a world where it's like, absolutely not, intolerable, get out of my sight, right? That's one. Number two is, this might be an opportunity to get a huge discount.
They're having that discussion, you think?
They're absolutely having that discussion. That might disgust some people right now. I'm telling you, this is the cold-hearted part of this business. Like, something bad happens, you're like, oh my God. And then you're like, how can I benefit from this?
Yeah, how can we spin this sure. into a win mm-hmm. for our books right. mm-hmm. and our cap number?
And,
that discussion's being
and that will make people wince and make them uncomfortable, but that's I'm with Amin. That right. conversation is certainly happening.
Right.
Yeah. And it's happening quickly.
Yeah.
And it has to happen quickly because we're also gambling against the other suitors. Are they all out? Or are they thinking the same thing?
Whereas they were undoubtedly going to be negotiating against other teams and yes. the player had some sort of leverage. As much as one can have when you're an RFA, mm-hmm. now all of a sudden, you don't even want the news getting out that you're in the Miles Bridges business.
Exactly.
You don't want the news being reported that you've made an offer to him because now there's a PR blowback.
So the RFA status in this case actually works in his advantage because he's not quite max, but he's up there. So the level of increasing, escalating commitment isn't that, like, there's not that many more levels. So it was actually a great place of leverage for him to be a non-max player to get max out of this. Now, that's probably evaporated. As you said, no one wants to be associated or affiliated. And if they do, they're saying, well, I got to take the discount. And the discount is, I'm not giving you max.
This is a good player that Charlotte was looking to build around.
Very good player. He's a very good player.
Very good player. But also, people were holding Charlotte's reputation that if Charlotte ends up giving this guy a bag, it'll almost surely go south real quick. Looks like things went south before they even had the opportunity to pay him.
So, by the way, this conversation to me is reminiscent. It's different, but it's reminiscent of the conversation we had when Myers Leonard happened. Remember? And we were on with David Sampson.
Yep.
And David Sampson, very similar to Jess, was like, absolutely not, no discussion, there's no, I don't care, it's done. And I said to Sampson, who is famous for nothing personal, yes, but the reality is, that's not the discussion that's happening inside those doors. The discussion that's happening over there is, okay, what can we do with this situation? And so, from the perspective of my job now, here, it's to describe what those conversations are like. It's not to say, well, I don't care about Miles Bridges, so to move on. And Jess, I'm sorry if it feels like I'm lecturing or whatever. I'm just explaining that sometimes it's an uncomfortable conversation that we may not have. If it was someone here, if Miles Bridges was an employee of this show and this happened, maybe we say, get out of here. We don't want anything to do with you. But that's not what's happening there. And it's not my job to say, well, I wouldn't tolerate it, so I don't even need to discuss it. It's my job to explain what's happening behind
why
that curtain.
Why other teams would tolerate it?
Right.
All right, let's talk about the other story that prior to the Miles Bridges thing dominated the Twitter landscape, and one that actually has some interest locally when it kind of came out of nowhere. Jalen Brunson seemed like he was going to New York right now. He had a very good season. Mm-hmm. I think he's like 6'1". But he has an incredibly strong game at the cup. He has one of the best floaters, mm-hmm. One of the best moves in the game with that floater.
The Knicks hired his dad. I mean,
well, yeah,
they could have hired Del Curry. I mean, you know,
former backup point guard for those Knicks that had a fierce rivalry.
Not only that, but he also played on several teams where Tom Thibodeau was an assistant coach and has been an assistant on Tom Thibodeau's staffs in Chicago and in Minnesota. So there's a lot of connections between Tibbs and the Brunson family.
The Jalen Brunson that we saw, and Mike, finish this in a second, because you're right. I thought he was going to, yesterday, we discussed him going to the Knicks, and that might not be the case. Is Jalen Brunson good? Like, with those numbers.
Yes. The short answer is yes.
I mean, those numbers came after Porzingis was traded with Luka hurt. Like,
I mean, all the numbers kind of changed.
Kind of up and down. You know?
That's one of the better moves. It's one of the great addition by subtraction. You could point to it and say, well, they got addition by addition. Cleaver was really good for them. And Dinwiddie was really good for them. But moving Kristaps Porzingis off that roster really unlocked a lot of players.
Yeah.
And we saw Jalen Brunson tap into a form that we hadn't seen previously. But he's 6'1". There are certain knocks against his game. He didn't perform well against the Golden State Warriors. Being that he kind of burst on the scene, is it sustainable? Are you willing to pay him $100
million? $100
million,
yes. Is he a $25 million a year player? Yes. The problem is the reports with the Knicks is... Yeah,
not doubting you. I mean,
I don't like the situation for him as a player with the Knicks. We're gonna get all the graphics of RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, and Jalen Brunson. Like, who's gonna stop him? It's gonna be the Hornets, bro.
I'm a seven seed.
So here's the thing. There's two discussions. There's a discussion of what's Jalen Brunson worth. Like, what's he evaluated at? He's worth whatever he gets, but what's he evaluated at? And then discussion two is does that make sense for the Knicks? Right. Those are two different discussions.
Right, so the Knicks obviously are going to have to drop off a major bag if they're going to take him away. This is a free market.
Right.
And now we have this added variable of the Miami Heat being interested, a team without cap room, but mm-hmm. that has never stopped them before. They signed Jimmy Butler without any cap room and organized a sign and trade. The deal for Miami would be here. Bring in Jalen Brunson. I'm not really interested. I'm not really sure on what the fit is here other than get Kyle Lowry.
Not Kyle Lowry. That's the fit.
The heck out of here.
Get him out of here. Right.
And that would be a sign and trade. Mark Cuban in the past has been interested in Kyle Lowry. I think Kyle Lowry kind of fits that Mavericks team, and he fits the identity of, aging max guy that we can actually turn him into a really good role player. The Mavericks won a title with that kind of logic. It's well within their identity. I'm sure they'd rather have Brunson, but if Brunson wants to leave, Kyle Lowry isn't necessarily a terrible parting game.
Well, I mean, it's not that Kyle Lowry is a parting gift. It's that it's Kyle Lowry.
I love
Lowry.
That he's a parting gift.
It's that.
Guy won a title a couple of years ago.
Weren't you killing him?
Yes, because he's a parting gift.
Jalen Brunson is a better basketball player than Kyle Lowry is right now.
If you told me Kyle Lowry
had... he'd have to hire Mr. Brunson?
Rick, his name's Rick Brunson.
You know, I know who he is.
I like it. Sugats has him.
He didn't
him.
Even go coach Brunson.
Sugats has him as
he's
like
not a coach.
Just like Mr. S, like Smitty's dad. Right? We have to hire Mr. S. No, the reality is, if Lowry was in the last year of his deal, maybe. But he's got another one after this. And that's the killer. It's that the Heat signed him to a 3-year deal. And now I don't think anyone wants that deal. They might take it for a year, the $28 million this year, but the $29.7 next year, that's too much.
In the NBA, it has a value because next year it'll be an expiring deal.
It has a value next year. It doesn't have a value now.
Other than what you get on court. Right now, just let's look at the two players.
Right.
If we can, eliminate the contracts from the conversation. And I know it's such a part of the conversation with mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry. Who's a better basketball player right now?
Rick Brunson.
Jalen Brunson. Kyle Lowry.
Jalen.
For the Heat, the incentive is not only upgrading at the position, but also getting out from what is a bad contract. And at least with Jalen Brunson's age, you would figure he would be a movable contract if the fit isn't quite right.
For Jalen Brunson, yeah. At 20, that's why 25 is a very important number, because if we were to look at his valuation, absent any context, you'd say, yes. You'd say yes. The problem for the Knicks becomes you have Julius Randle making 24. You have Evan Fournier making 18.
It's a bad contract.
You have RJ Barrett, who's going to make whatever it is he's going to make next year, which is, might be 30.
It's the most that they can pay him. That's what they'll end up paying
RJ. The max. You're saying he's a max player. If he's a max player.
For the Knicks, he is.
For the Knicks, which I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure internally if they say RJ.
He took a leap last year, though.
He did. Yeah. I don't know if internally they feel like he's a max player.
It's a team that struggled so much to develop those talents.
I would say when you're a young player who has taken a leap and looked very good at times for large stretches and wants to be in New York, that's a max player for the Knicks. There's not many people who want to play there, He does.
That
organization,
rookie,
the history, means something to him.
The last rookie who got extended by the Knicks was Charlie Ward.
I know.
So, like, it's
not... You want to send him to a deal just to end that sad?
No, I want Charlie Ward to be the last one forever. By the way...
Hey, we signed a guy.
By the way, Charlie Ward, who was drafted before we had rookie-scale contracts. Yeah, right. That's how far back it goes.
So there was an interesting report that the Heat actually had a conversation with Kyle Lowry saying, we're not going to trade you for Kyrie Irving. We're not trading you to Brooklyn for Kyrie Irving.
I like the specificity. We're not trading you on a Tuesday.
Yeah. I take them at their word. They're not going to trade Kyle Lowry to Brooklyn for Kyrie Irving right now. But
because Brooklyn wouldn't do it.
But being interested in Jalen Brunson, taking a meeting with Jalen Brunson, sends a very clear message to Kyle Lowry that the Heat are trying to get out of the Kyle Lowry business, which, might have ramifications. He's a Jimmy Butler guy, right? Jimmy kind of wanted Kyle Lowry here, but even he had to see what happened at the end of last season. So I don't know how you navigate this. The report's out there right now. Is there a level of damage control that you do with Kyle Lowry, or is he... What are you talking about? I'm not worried about your feelings. You've been here for 1 year with Miami Heat.
What damage control? What are you talking about?
Yeah. We didn't do it.
Hey, here's an idea. Damage control.
Pat is always going to take the meeting. Pat took the meeting with LaMarcus Aldridge when he had $0.
Number one, Pat's always going to take the meeting from the history of time, right? Number two, you want damage control? How about you control that waistline?
Pat loves taking a meeting.
Pat did issue a direct challenge.
Flew to Vegas for one.
There's nothing that Pat Riley said. There's nothing that Pat Riley said in that press conference that he probably didn't say a lot more coldly and a lot more callously to Kyle Lowry directly.
There's no way Kyle Lowry learned about that from the press conference. Like, that wasn't his first time hearing that. That was delivered for sure directly. The reality is this. This isn't Dwayne Wade feeling shunned about Hassan Whiteside getting his contract offer before him, right? There, Dwayne Wade had a leg to stand on because of what he's done for this organization, what he's sacrificed money-wise, body-wise, and stuff. They owed him respect-wise to do that. Kyle Lowry hasn't built any of that. And by the way, and they still did it to Dwayne freaking Wade, the greatest player in the franchise history,
right?
What you guys have called the greatest player in South Florida sports history,
mm-hmm,
right? Three titles delivered.
Yes.
They did that to Dwayne Wade. Who the hell are you, Kyle Lowry, to catch feelings because we took a meeting, because we had a discussion about
right.
it? What have you done?
Nothing.
Other than not play well in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm not saying that's how it's delivered to him, right? But I am saying, like, yo, you better get over your feelings pretty quick. It's actually reminiscent in a little bit of...
Are you saying he shouldn't have feelings? Because if you are, I agree with you.
Like a 12-year-old. You ever have those again?
We're running long, so let me just button this
I'm
up
also
right
trying
now.
To figure out if South Beach got the best of you or...
No, no,
or if it's Greg Cody's microphone.
It's the microphone. Like, it's just or here. Dan. And it won't go. It won't come up.
We're blaming the microphone?
It's kind of weird to already have a worked-out take when free agency hasn't started yet. Because
mm-hmm.
I do think the Miami Heat are going to end up improving this roster. I felt like that was pretty obvious. They have a team that's close. It looks like they're going to lose P.J. Tucker. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're operating at a talent deficiency. From where we last saw them. But in just a couple of weeks, we've gone from photoshops of Bradley Beal, Donovan Mitchell, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and now we're at Jalen Brunson.
Mm.
All right, so if you look at name value, Jalen Brunson is the least excitable one of those names. Is that a successful offseason if they lose P.J. Tucker and they just come back and say, hey, here's this guy that might end up being a flash in the pan? He doesn't have this huge track record of success.
It's not even flash in the pan. It's what he is versus what he costs to them. Jimmy Butler, $37.6 million Idris Adebayo, 30.4. I'm assuming Lowry would be gone. Duncan Robinson, 16.9. And then Tyler Hero extension is on the horizon.
It's going to be like 25 a year?
Hero?
Yeah.
At least, yeah. Right? So you add Brunson in there, and you say, wow, we're really locked in on this. But how much better does he make us? And then you say to yourself, what could I do? Can I get someone who's not as good as Jalen Brunson, but also doesn't cost me $25 million?
Like?
I don't know. I mean, look, is Gabe Vincent, who's not as good as Jalen Brunson, but played very well for them, like when he
will never turn into Jalen Brunson.
Here's why. I think that they should go for Jalen Brunson if that is absolutely their best case scenario looking at this offseason, because it's not like Kyle Lowry in that by midseason, you could trade Jalen Brunson. Sure. He's a desirable asset.
Sure.
You wouldn't be looked at as, oh, we can't take this contract.
Sure. But you also risk locking yourself into something that isn't desirable. Not in terms of championship contending.
Yeah, there are questions about him.
If you're trying to make a move for championship contention, right? Like the missing piece can't, I don't think their missing piece is Jalen Brunson. Now other teams maybe, but not for the Miami Heat. I think they need more.
Yeah, but I think that he can maybe help them get a missing piece midseason or in years thereafter, just because he's a lot easier to move and he has a higher ceiling. He's of an age that you still project for the player.
By the way, all of this is made moot by what the Knicks are doing. I was getting to that and kind of got sidetracked. They moved more contracts because they're getting ready to prepare an offer that's greater than 25 a year. They're going into, Mark Stein, I think, said it, into the 110, 111 range.
As a Knicks fan, it's frustrating. I got
to
be honest.
Yeah, but they're going to have to because they're dealing with states like Texas and Florida where they have to
overcome that tax advantage. He's a guy that potentially puts you over the top. For the Knicks, I'm not even certain you make the playoffs with Jalen Brunson.
I don't even know if this is a guy that puts you over the top, but I think he's a step closer to getting a guy that puts you over the top. Whereas Kyle Lowry, you look at like some of the trades that we've been talking about with Kyle Lowry before. It's like Brooklyn would only do that because they have no options, because they have a Kyrie Irving problem, and right. They've looked at the lot and said, all right, none of these options are desirable, but we'll take a less desirable Kyle Lowry over an even less desirable Kyrie Irving, swapping one problem for another.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.